We continue in our series on the Gospel of Luke. Today we come to this powerful account of Jesus and the leper in Luke chapter 5. My name isn't important. No one used it anyway. Leper. That's the name they knew. This is my story, a leper's story. It all started one day as I was getting ready for work. I noticed a small discolored patch on my right arm. I didn't think much about it at first, but a couple days later, I noticed it was getting bigger. I knew the stories and I knew the law. Any blemish like this had to be examined by the priest. I was scared. What if it was an infectious skin disease? What if it was leprosy? It could mean that I could lose everything. I hid it for a while, but I knew I was breaking the Mosaic law. I remembered how worried I was, so I went to the priest. He thought it was infectious, and I had to be quarantined. But I still had hope. I still thought it just might get better. But it never did. It only got worse. My worst nightmare, anybody's worst nightmare, was coming true. It was leprosy. I had leprosy. I was cast out. I was deemed unclean. Leprosy, you see, is worse than death. It was torture. I couldn't go to worship. I couldn't go to the synagogue. I couldn't go to the temple. I couldn't have a job. I could no longer associate with my friends and family. I couldn't even beg because no one would come near to me. I was forbidden from entering the village. I had to make my camp outside the village. My family and kind strangers would bring food out to me, but they had to stay at a distance. They would just leave it on the rock and then go. When I walked the streets, I had to call out, "Unclean, unclean," to all who were near me. How humiliating those words would become. Shouting out to everyone that I had been cursed and unclean, crowds parted as I drew near. Everyone was afraid of catching my disease. Everyone was so careful not to come close to me. Children laughed at me and threw stones. They mocked my cry of unclean. But that's not the worst part. I was untouchable. No one would touch me. Or they would be unclean as well. Can you imagine the pain of going untouched by human hands? Never feeling the warmth of another's love or touch. Never clasping the strong hands of a friend. Everyone running in fear whenever I was near. As the disease progressed, my life went from bad to worse. Along with the progressive, debilitating disease, the social and spiritual and mental aspects of my life were awful. Loneliness and depression and bitterness and anger gripped my soul. I was alive, but only because I was breathing. I felt so isolated, so helpless. Could anyone love someone like me? I longed to be wanted and needed. I longed to have friends and children of my own. I longed to be accepted. I longed to be clean. I longed to simply have a name. See, no one cared about my name. I was just simply the leper. And so our story begins. But boy, that is not where our story ends. Please open your Bibles with me to Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5, starting at verse 12. While Jesus was in one of the cities, there came a man full of leprosy. And when he saw Jesus, he fell down on his face and begged him, "Lord, if you will, you can make me clean." And Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him, saying, "I will be clean." And immediately the leprosy left him. And he charged him to tell no one, but to go and show yourself to the priest and to make an offering for your cleansing, as Moses commanded, for a proof to them. But now even more the report about him went abroad, and great crowds gathered to hear him and to be healed of their infirmities. But he would withdraw to a desolate places and pray. Father, we come to you this morning in prayer to have you take this word, these verses, and bring them alive through your Spirit in our lives, changing us and conforming us to the image of your Savior. Amen. The first thing that leper needed to do was to have any hope was to accept and recognize his need for change. The first step that we need to do is to recognize or accept our need for change. Sometimes that's easy. Sometimes, like the leper in the situation, life is so hard, the situation is so difficult, life is so challenging that we can easily come to grips with our need for help to change. Often we look at circumstances like that. You know, circumstances that so directly, dramatically call us to cry out to Jesus as the worst moments in our lives. Often they are. But isn't it amazing? Isn't it amazing that when we're at our least, when we're at our lowest, when we're at our frailest, when we're at our most vulnerable, when we're in our most difficult situation, guess who's right there with us? God is right there. Through the clarity of our crushing problems, we go running home to our Heavenly Father. Sometimes it's clear that we need change. But you know, many times it's not. We have just as serious a need to change, but because our life circumstances are okay, we don't recognize our need to change. Because life is good enough, we don't see the glaring need of change in our lives. I've sat in my office over the many years with a spouse that is now desperate to change. Their husband has left. Their wife wants a divorce. They knew all along that bad things were getting worse. But rather than putting the effort to change, rather than taking responsibility for the problems and issues, they just ignored them. Now their spouse is broken and shattered and hopeless. And now they're finally confronted with the reality of their life decisions and they desperately want to change. Now that their circumstances have finally gotten unbearable, they're willing to evaluate and change. Sometimes so much damage, so much heartache is on the table that there's only the faintest glimmer of any hope. Oh, folks, there's far too many stories like that. Spouse to spouse, parent to child, child to parent. Only when the relationship has hit rock bottom is there any recognition for the need to change. Let us not be so foolish. See, leprosy in this story is not just a picture of physical disease. It's also a picture of spiritual disease, a picture of sin. Listen to this quote. It says, among the Jews, several skin diseases were classified as leprosy, including our modern Hansen's disease. In spite of modern medical advances, an estimated 10 million people around the world today still struggle with leprosy. One form of leprosy attacks the nerves so that the victim cannot feel pain. Infection easily sets in and it leads to the degeneration of the tissues and the limbs become deformed and fingers and toes eventually fall off. It was the task of the Jewish priest to examine the people to determine whether they were lepers. And infected people were isolated and could not return to normal society. They were declared unclean. Leprosy was used by Isaiah as a picture of sin in Isaiah chapter 1, verses 4 through 6. And the detailed instructions in Leviticus 13 and 14 would suggest that more is involved in a procedure than just maintaining public health. Like sin, you see, leprosy is deeper than the skin and cannot be helped by mere surface measures. Like sin, leprosy spreads, and as it spreads, it defiles. Because of his defilement, a leprous person had to be isolated outside the camp. And lost sinners one day will be isolated in hell. People with leprosy were looked down as dead, Numbers 12:12, and their garments infected with leprosy were only fit for the fire. How important it is for those lost sinners to trust Jesus Christ and get rid of their leprosy. What a great quote. Perhaps today you need to come to Jesus for the very first time, recognizing your sin and the separation from Him. And by grace, through faith, come to Him for salvation and life. Perhaps today you have long since put your trust in Jesus as your Lord and Savior, but you're still battling with troubling sins. Then today is your day to recognize your sin and to go to your Savior through the power of the Holy Spirit and face your sin and to start the process of real substantive spiritual change. It's always best to catch a disease or a cancer at its earliest point because then it's much easier to treat. But when it goes unnoticed, when it goes ignored and unrecognized, it only gets worse and harder to deal with. Now, spiritually speaking, we need to be in tune with the Spirit, our Spirit, with the Holy Spirit, so that we can deal with the issues of our lives at their earliest point. When we deal with them at their earliest point, it's easier to treat, rather than letting them go unnoticed and unrecognized, or we just plain ignore them. And then when we finally do confront it, it only is harder and more damaging and more painful to deal with. Today, may the prayer of our hearts be the prayer of Psalm 139, 23 and 24 that says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any grievous way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." First, we must recognize it. And then we need to want the change. The leper shows us that you have to pursue change. It's a simple point that can be easily overlooked in our scripture today. Luke 5:12 says that Jesus was in one of the cities when the leper came to him. Now, in the city doesn't necessarily mean that Jesus is officially inside the city gates, but he's at least inside the outskirts of the city in the growing population areas. As in today, most of the cities were surrounded by suburbs, for lack of a better term. The simple point is that the leper was where he wasn't supposed to be. The leper was where he wasn't supposed to be. This man was well advanced in his leprosy. Luke says he was full of leprosy. Not only would he have been painfully disfigured, but he also would have smelled terrible. And his clothes, if you could even call them that, would have been little more than rags. Everybody knew about him and everybody avoided him. In the Old Testament law, in Leviticus chapter 13, verses 45 and 46, it says, "The leprous person who has the disease shall wear torn clothes and let the hair of his head hang loose, and he shall cover his upper lip and cry out, 'Unclean, unclean.' He shall remain unclean as long as he has the disease. He is unclean, he shall live alone. His dwelling shall be outside the camp." These precautions were put in place by God so that this disease would not spread throughout the whole population. The leper had lived underneath these rules for a very long time. When he saw the crowds had gathered around Jesus and they were going into the town, he threw aside all those rules to do his best to get to Jesus. You must have heard of the great miracles that Jesus has done. You must have heard about what Jesus was teaching, that he was doing the works of the promised Messiah. And he hoped, he believed, that if he could just get to Jesus, that Jesus could heal him. So he breaks the rules and he goes into the city to pursue Jesus. When he finds Jesus, he falls on his face in humility and submission. And he begs him and he pleads with Jesus, "Lord, if you will, you can make me clean." What a great statement of faith. He knows Jesus can heal him. He has full faith in Jesus' power to heal. The question isn't, can Jesus heal him? The question is, does Jesus want to heal him? See, this is exactly how we're supposed to ask and of God for his work in our lives. By faith, fully trusting, but according to God's will and not what we want. 1 John 5:14 through 15 says, "And this is the confidence that we have toward him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the request that we have asked of him." We can ask God with confidence. We can come boldly before the throne of grace, not to get what we want, but to get what God wants. Not to align God with our wills, but to align us with God's will. When we're aligned with God's will, we receive mercy and find grace to help in our time of need. Our request will be answered because we're praying for what God wants. The leper wanted to be healed. He wanted to be clean, and he pursued Jesus. He did so with humility, with submission, with a right focus of faith on Jesus. First, we need to recognize our problem. Then we need to want to change. But to really change, it needs to be more than just motivation of hard circumstances. It takes the motivation of our heart to come to Jesus in humility and faith, to come to Jesus with submission and trust, to come to Jesus with a right focus on faith of his will. And soon we will have mercy and grace to help in our time of need. Next, if we really want to change, we need to go to the right source. You have to come to the one who can change you. Perhaps this point is so obvious it can almost go without saying. But there was one person, and only one person on the whole planet Earth that could heal that leper. And that is to whom the leper went. He went to Jesus. See, when we preach the exclusivity, that's a hard word to say, exclusivity, that word. When we preach that word, that Jesus is the only way of salvation, when we teach that the only way to God is through Jesus, we're not being intolerant. We're not being prejudiced. We're not being narrow-minded. We're simply speaking the truth. We're only saying what the Bible teaches. We're graciously pointing out reality. The only person that could heal that leper was Jesus. The only person that can save our souls is Jesus. The only person who can help us overcome the besetting sins of our lives is Jesus. As fundamental as this is as important as this is, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. John 17:3, and this is eternal life, that you know that they know you, the only one true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. Romans 3:23, the righteousness of God is through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe, for there is no distinction. 1 John 2:2, Jesus is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but for the sins of the whole world. John 14:6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Acts 4:12, and there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name. How many others? No other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. This is a fundamental truth. This is biblical truth. This is the truth that healed the leper, and it's the truth that saves our soul. Well, perhaps today you've recognized a problem in your life and you even want to change. But what you do next makes all the difference. Our world says at this point you have any number of viable options. They say all religions get you to the same place. You can pick and choose whatever you want. You can mix and mingle your choices to customize your religious belief. It's all good. Our world says you can reject religion altogether as long as you just try to be a good person. The fundamental truth of our world is that you make your own salvation. Secular psychology and the overuse of medication and self-help books and all these things, they'll help you deal with your persistent problems. God and Jesus and the Bible aren't in the picture at all. It would be a great tragedy. It would be a great tragedy to understand you have a problem, to want to change, start climbing the ladder of transformation, only to realize you've leaned your ladder against the wrong wall. See, perhaps today you've recognized your problem and you even want to change. Well, the same truth for the leper is the same truth for us. Only Jesus, the one and only, can make us clean and whole. Jesus said to that leper, I am willing. Be clean. And he reached out and he touched the man who had not felt another person in years. He touched him. When everyone else would cower in fear, he touched him and instantaneously healed him, cleansed him and made him whole. Shackled by a heavy burden, beneath a load of guilt and shame, then the hand of Jesus touched me, and now I am no longer the same. He touched me. Oh, he touched me. And oh, the joy that floods my soul. That leper, the joy that flooded his soul because something happened, and now he knows he touched me and made me whole. This most beautiful picture is not just a picture of Jesus healing the leper. It's also a picture of what Jesus does for us. Jesus touched the leper and took his leprosy away. Jesus came to this earth to take our sin away. And through his substitutionary death and his powerful resurrection, through the work of the Holy Spirit, he touches us to make us spiritually clean and whole and acceptable to the Father. You've probably never heard of the island of Molokai. Well, it's located in the state of Hawaii, and it has quite a history. You have to go back to the late 1800s to understand its significance. You see, back then there was no cure for the highly contagious and deadly disease called leprosy, a disease that would attack the extremities of the body, the ears, the toes, the nose, the fingers, and horrible, dreadful disease, which today is curable, but it wasn't back then. So in order to keep the disease at bay, in order to keep it from spreading and creating an epidemic, the government would send lepers to a colony on the island of Molokai, where they would be secluded and isolated from those who were not infected with the disease. Well, in 1873, there was a young and brave Catholic priest named Father Damien who volunteered to spend his life serving the people secluded on this island. When he arrived, he started to see that the people were not only suffering physically, but socially and emotionally and spiritually. In the leper colony, he saw extreme drunkenness and immorality and abuse and an overall sense of hopelessness. When he saw where the people were, that they were desperately in need to know the Savior, they needed God's presence in their life. Father Damien lived among the lepers, knowing the dangers, realizing the inevitable results of so much personal contact with a highly contagious disease. He built clinics and churches and built some 600 coffins. And the whole while, he was telling them about the Savior who had come to take their sins away. And whenever a church service was held, he would stand up in front of the lepers and he would warmly and lovingly address them as my dear brethren. But then one morning in 1885, at the age of 45, in a calm, clear voice, instead of saying my dear brethren, he began, my fellow lepers, I am now one of you. You see, it was out of love that this humble priest became one of them. Out of love, he gave those lepers a gift that would change their life for all of eternity. He became one of them to serve them. He pictured for them what Jesus did for all of us. Jesus became one of us, taking our sin to provide the one and only way of salvation. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, For our sake, God made Jesus to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. It's not intolerant to say that Jesus is the only way. It's life. It's hope. It's everything. So we have to recognize our need. We have to want to be changed. We have to go to the one and only person who can make the difference in our lives. And then we need to live it out. You have to act out on the change. Jesus told the man to tell no one. Jesus knew what the crowd's reaction to the miracle would be. He knew that it would be make it harder for him to do all they had planned because the crowds would swell in numbers. In the Hebrews' mind, being healed from leprosy was a miracle on par of raising someone from the dead. But see, Jesus also told him to go and show himself to the priest, to be declared officially clean, and to bring the offerings commanded by Moses in Leviticus. He told the leper to do that, not only for the cleansed leper to show his obedience, but also as a proof, the scripture says, as a testimony, as a confirmation to the priest that the Messiah had come. And he was giving unmistakable proof to that fact. Being healed by Jesus was not the end of the story for the leper. Jesus wanted him to act on his changed life. His salvation is not an endpoint. It's the beginning point of a life of devotion to God. Once the healer heals you, then he has a plan for you. Once the Savior saves you, then he has a new purpose for your life. You know, so often we stop at verse 9. In Ephesians chapter 2, we love to quote verses 8 through 9, and rightfully so, because they're a powerful presentation, a concise presentation of the truth of the gospel of salvation. But today, I want you to specifically listen to verses 8, 9, and 10. It says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not of your own doing. It is a gift of God, not the result of works, so that no one can boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." We're saved by grace through faith. It is solely a gift from God. We can only receive it. We can never earn it. But when that gift is received, it changes everything. What we could never work for, we now live for. What we could never earn, we now overflow in a life of dedication to being and doing what Jesus wants. What no amount of labor could ever secure, we now strive with every labor endued to walk in the very good works that we were created in Christ Jesus to do. See, salvation is not the end point. It's the beginning point of a life of devotion to Christ. The leper was cleansed, but Jesus had more for him. We are saved, but Jesus has more for us to do. As believers, it should be our endeavor, the very passion of our hearts, to walk in the good works that God has prepared for us to walk in. In this very room this morning are some people who need to recognize for the very first time that they have a serious problem. It's called sin. And that sin has made them unclean, and that their sin has isolated them, separated them from God. Perhaps today you need to recognize that you're a sinner and turn and repent and run after Jesus in your heart to fall on your knees before Him and through faith say, "Lord, You alone can take care of my sin. If You are willing, please make me clean. You died on the cross to eradicate my sins and to give me new life. Thank You, Lord, that You're willing to make me clean, to forgive and to give me new and eternal life. I recognize my sin. I want to be changed, and I know and proclaim that You are the one and only who can save me." Perhaps today is your day to say those words and come to Jesus. There are also many in this room who have come to Christ for salvation long time ago. They've been transformed from death to life. We've been transformed from lost to found. We've gone from outcast to family. And yet, though the ultimate consequences of our sin have been taken care of, we have eternal life by grace through faith and the finished work of Jesus on the cross. Yet we still struggle. We continue to battle with the besetting sins that Satan and our selfishness are using to try to take us down. Well, just like that leper, we need to come to Jesus. We need to recognize our sin. We need to face it for what it really is. We need to deal with it. We need to take it out of the hidden rooms of our heart and expose it to the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. We have to want godliness more than our sin. We have to want obedience more than selfishness. We have to want spiritual wholeness more than the false comfort of our brokenness. We have to run after Jesus. We have to go for it. We have to see that our only hope for spiritual completeness is in Christ. We have to seek God's grace, to seek God's love, to seek God's healing. We have to come before Jesus and say, "If You are willing, Jesus, would You help me change this area of my life?" And you know what Jesus is going to do? You know what He's going to do? He's going to reach out His hand. He's going to touch you. And He's going to say, "I am willing. I will help you change. I will help you because You can become all in me and through me. I am willing." Weak and wounded sinner, lost and left to die, oh, raise your head, for love is passing by. Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. Let's pray. Oh, Father, we long to live. We long to live. We long to have life full and vibrant. We long to have spiritual life that's real and substantive. We long to live. Help us to come to You. Help us to come to Jesus humbly, in submission, in faith. Coming before Jesus and saying, "If You are willing, Lord, you can make me whole. That's our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.